Hello, once again. Welcome to LakeChelanNow.com as we continue with our series of candidate interviews for contested races within the city of Chelan. This time, we are tackling the city council position, and we have with us today a pair of Johns, John Olson and John Higgins. And let's first off welcome to John Olson. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
John, tell us a little bit about you. I know you're both old goats, one a little bit maybe senior in that regard, but tell us about your background.
My background is that I was born here and grew up here, went through the school system, went through Wenatchee Community College, and then got into the military right out during the middle of the Vietnam War. Ended up overseas for 4 years, went back to college, did a bachelor's and master's up at Western Washington University, and then at Evergreen, and spent 25 years as environmental research. And then I got into real estate for another 25 years, so a little bit of overlap. Basically gone away from home for about 45 years. Time to retire. Had been to lots of places that didn't look as good as this one, so I came back home.
Now you retired, but keep that. You came back home. Tell us, why did you decide to run for city council?
Well, I started watching and learning. Steve Klein and I were good friends. He passed away a year and a half ago. We have a small group, had a small group called Friends of Lake Chelan. And we were noticing some of the problems around town. Big one being is that most of the stores had help wanted signs up all year long. And we kept asking why, and that evolved into working on affordable housing. And of course, that meant being some of the city council meetings, watching what was going on there. I've been to just about every city council meeting or workshop or planning session there's been for the last 4 years. Decided that I had enough background that I should step in.
All right, thank you for that. We'll pass it over here to your counterpart, John Higgins. First off, welcome, John, and
thank
give
you.
Us your background.
Well, I am a local, too. I was born and raised in the hospital on the Hill. I was graduated Chelan High in 92. I was licensed in real estate in 93, and then I moved away for several years and lived in Seattle for a while. I moved back in 97 and worked in construction for a little bit, and then decided that real estate was in my blood and came back to work, and I've been working in real estate ever since. Started in sales, and in the last 8 years, I've been doing property management.
All right, so even though you two may have some differences on certain points, you both share a commonality in the real estate business.
Yes.
But John, for you, John Higgins, this is going to get confusing perhaps over time. Mr. Higgins, why did you decide that you were going to put your name in for city council?
Well, you know, growing up in Chelan and, you know, seeing the changes that have happened over all the years that I've been back and selling real estate, you know, I figured it was time for me to toss my hat in and give back to the community that I love so much.
Thank you for that. Now we're going to dive into some of the questions, and a few of these came up as primary topics that were discussed at the recent candidates forum that was hosted by the Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce at the Performing Arts Center at Chelan High School. And two things that really kind of resonated throughout the course of that evening had to do with development and also had to do with traffic in the downtown core. Let's begin here, if we can, with the development side. And I'm curious, Mr. Olson, give me your concerns, or first off, maybe your impression of with development as it stands in the city of Chelan. Have we had too much, not enough, or just about the right amount?
Well, historically, in recent history, we've had typically around 10, maybe 15 new homes a year in the valley, and we're currently running in the hundreds right now. We're also experiencing all the spinoff issues from that, mostly traffic, but there are also issues with water and sewer, garbage, everything that the city infrastructure provides, we're having issues with. Big one being access to the lake, too. We've got the same lake access that we had here in Chelan City when I was born, and nothing has really changed yet. The population, and especially the summer population, has absolutely skyrocketed, and there's a huge pressures on both parks and the surrounding neighborhoods. I would say those are some of the biggest issues.
All right, John Higgins, I'm going to let you respond to that portion of this question, but we're going to hang with development here for a little bit, if you gentlemen don't mind. But in that regard of what we have had up to this point, or what you're aware maybe is coming, has it been, do you think, too much, not enough, or just about right?
Well, you know, we do have quite a few people coming to this valley. We have a wonderful valley. People want to come and live here. It's a beautiful place to live. Us as locals, We try to cater to those tourists. We also need to cater to the people who are locals. How do we get to a position where we maintain affordable housing for people who come here and work? Mr. Olson mentioned help wanted signs. You can walk up and down Main Street and you see a lot of help wanted signs in town. How do we keep those people in the valley and make them happy, make them in a situation where they can afford to live here and raise their families here like we were raised as kids?
I'd like to get your gentleman's views as well on, let's kind of look ahead maybe to more major developments as opposed to single family structures or a duplex or something like that. And I know when I had sit-down opportunity with the mayoral candidates, and across the board it came up in both instances by each candidate, and that had to do with the Lookout. In terms of that Lookout, initially started as another project name, whole different scope of what it was going to be, kind of evolved over time, and it feels like for many people came as a surprise when it was ultimately completed and what it ended up being, as opposed to what it was maybe going to be at the onset. So my question of you, John Higgins, is there the mechanism in place? Obviously we have the comp plan, but is the mechanism in place to safeguard the public so that you don't end up with something that later on is basically considered by many in the community to be a development that shouldn't have happened, but did through the process and legally. Right. But are there steps that can be taken between then and the ultimate conclusion of that project that might provide some more safeguards?
Well, we take a look at the Lookout. I was involved in that when the Talley brothers were in there, when they owned it, and the lots were twice as big. The ability to build a house on a lot that was twice as big and have off-street parking also. When the current group came in and they cut the sizes of those lots in half, they doubled the population in that area. I tend to call them ticky-tacky houses. They're kind of built ticky-tacky up there. There has got to be a way for us to mitigate something like that happening again. How do we do it? I think total transparency between the city and developers. We can't allow some of these developers to come in and to kind of strong arm us as the city administration. We can't allow them to do that to push forward in zoning and other things to be able to have the ability to do something like the Lookout.
Follow-up question in that regard, John, to you would be, obviously there's so many planned projects that if you are elected to be a city council member, there's no way a council person can be privy to every development that's being talked about or has had something submitted on. But do you feel that there should be perhaps a tweaking of the communication between the planning department, for example, or the planning commission and elected officials when you see a major scope project that's coming forth? So maybe that those people that are going to hear at some point from their constituency have a little bit more of a heads up.
I agree with that 100%. I think that there needs to be a real line of communication between the building and planning guys and the city council and the mayor and those guys. And we need to keep those lines open. If something slips through the cracks, we may end up with another development like the Lookout. I know that those guys do fairly well up there. There are people that buy into that. But as locals, as my personal preference, I don't like to see that up on the hill. I would prefer to sway away from that. If we can keep those lines of communication open between building and planning and the things that are happening, I agree with that 100%.
John Olson, you heard the dialogue in kind of those areas. Curious to get your feedback as well. There's never a perfect remedy or a solution to something. I guess the question is, could there be improvements made, however, to kind of safeguard developments going from something at point A to a completely different project at the time that it's maybe sold once or twice and completed?
It's often said that the greatest form of flattery is mimicry. And when you see successful products, projects like the Lookout, you're guaranteed that you're going to see more of them. For the last 4 years, I've been interviewing a large number of people and following the legals in the paper and keeping track of all of it. And on my list, there's 7,500 housing units planned for the Chelan Valley right now. Now, these are not pie in the sky. These are things that people have actually put pen to paper, bought the land, made a proposal, had at least had pre-application meetings, 7,500 of them. That's three times the current size of Chelan. Now, this is in the valley. People say, well, you have to exclude what's in Manson. Well, I'd be happy to do that as long as the Manson traffic didn't come right through the middle of town, a block from where we are right now. So these are huge issues. They're huge developments. They're opportunities for people to make a lot of money. We have high appreciation rates going on right now in this area. There's a pent-up demand, mostly coming from the coast, to come to eastern Washington. The high-stress areas are Leavenworth and Chelan, of course, seem to be the targets. So we have a combination of conflicting interests between people who want to lead quiet lives, to retirees like myself, to people who want to make some money, to people who want to raise a quiet place for their family, raise their kids safe, where they don't have all the urban issues. But as we urbanize, the urban issues are coming with them. So there has to be a very strong vetting by the community as to making sure the developers are providing their portion of the infrastructure so that it doesn't take away from the rest of us.
I'm going to follow up with you, and John Higgins, you can respond to this same query as well. But when I'm listening to what both of you gentlemen are saying, it brings up the question, how do we ever wrap our arms around this whole thing of development? If there's that many on the books as you're suggesting and talking about, at what point do you got to call a timeout and say, timeout? I mean, infrastructure. How do you handle the infrastructure just for water access and for traffic mitigations and all of those things that come into it? Is there enough power? I know the PUD is looking at additional substations. Mm-hmm. How many of these developments could you actually power? Is there some means to say at some point, maybe we need a more fully developed plan to look ahead for development? Or do you just kind of go after it one at a time and react when they hit?
I couldn't agree more, Dennis. Chelan does not have a long-range planning office. We have a processing office. They call it a planning office, but it isn't. It's a processing office. And certainly nothing in the long-range planning. We also have nothing in economic development. You mentioned about major developments. We have one right behind your house coming in. We have another one on the Three Fingers coming in. They're all over the place, and they're stretching our infrastructure severely. You mentioned about water. I go to the watershed planning units. This is all the governmental agencies from the city on up through the feds who have jurisdiction over Lake Chelan. There are three times the applications as availability of surface water from the lake. Three times. So where's that water going to come from? The only place I can think it's going to come from is from agriculture, because agriculture water is less valuable than domestic water. So these kind of things are going to play out in the very near future.
John Higgins, your opportunity.
I agree wholeheartedly with Mr. Olson on some of those issues. You know, what we're seeing is, you've got some people that are trying to come in and do developments in the city of Chelan, and you've got hookup fees that are tremendous amounts, for them to build units in the city of Chelan as far as water and sewer. We push a lot of these people out into the county. It's cheaper to build in the county. And like he says, we get the impact of all the traffic coming from Manson through Chelan. We also get the impact of the load on our infrastructure, whether it's water or sewer. A lot of people, you have to understand that the sewer that comes from Manson and the South Shore passed through the city of Chelan. So we as locals in the city, we're burdened by those things. They are a huge impact on a system that, quite honestly, is not going to be able to handle that.
So if you're elected to city council, John Higgins, and you have some of these concerns, do you have some thoughts in mind that maybe will help alleviate some of these issues down the line?
Well, again, we got to stop pushing people out into the county. We have to kind of try to regulate building of that sort. How do we do it? I don't know the true answer to that, but I am willing to put my head together with the other people and try to figure this out for the city of Chelan.
And John, same question, I guess. Do you have any specific thoughts in mind to maybe how you get a better handle on what's happening with development?
Yeah, these are complex issues with which are going to require complex solutions. And with the many different types of people that are here and their interest in Chelan, it's going to take a lot of compromising. Recently at one of the comprehensive planning, well, not recently, it was last year, it was announced that we're probably within a 10-year period for an expanded sewer system here in Chelan. Well, those run tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. We've got 1.5 bridges across the Chelan River now. You know, we're just a major earthquake away from a real disaster. Those bridges are exceptionally expensive. I think City of Cashmere and replacing their West End Bridge is $24 million. That's a little large. So when we have development, developers need to carry some of the costs. I'm sorry that they're facing those high hookup fees that John Hagan's mentioned, but they are high, but those are real costs. And if they don't pay them, then that means somebody else has to pay them. Somebody's got to pay them. And if they don't pay them, then the current ratepayers have to pay them. So everybody needs to step up and you know, provide their own, pay their own way.
All right. I thank you for those comments. Let's switch from development to a discussion about the recent renovation of the old bridge in downtown Chelan and the recent one lane of the traffic into town. This has been a topic you gentlemen I know both heard lots of conversation about this. John Higgins, will begin with you this time on this one, and maybe give us your feelings, number one, about the decision to one-way the bridge coming into town. How do you feel about that?
Well, honestly, I don't think it was a good idea for the city of Chelan to do, to change that from a two-way bridge to a one-way bridge. I think that there were other ways of going about making it pedestrian-friendly. I think that what they've done is they've taken a situation that was an unsafe bridge for pedestrians. They changed it in the hopes that they would make it better. Traffic-wise, they did not. If you're a pedestrian and you're walking across the bridge, the bigger sidewalks are great, and the bike path is great for people who are walking and biking. But they have taken a situation and turned it into what I would say probably four other situations. One being the Johnson Avenue. The Saunders light is, I know that they have changed the actual sequence of the light to try to move traffic through a little bit quicker. Did it help? Not really. We take the Webster Ave over in front of the high school, and they have made a situation over there that is quite dangerous for our students. And I think that we need to, you know, kind of reevaluate what has happened. You know, at the forum, we heard Cooney talking about, you know, they did the one-way bridge in the hopes that right afterward they were having mitigation and other studies on Johnson and Saunders to change those things, and they didn't happen as quickly as possible. I think it's a situation where, because of the dangers of the traffic by the high school, that we need, that is something that's very pressing. We need to make sure that we deal with that traffic problem immediately.
I want to get into some of the traffic mitigation issues, but let me, before we shift back over here to Mr. Olson, question I have is, because many people say, well, the bridge has been refurbished, the one-way decision has been made, and that's pretty much etched in stone, and that's what we are going to be left with, and then we make some changes maybe along the routes to help mitigate some of the traffic issues. My question of you, John, is, are we locked into that, or could there perhaps be a way to back up and revert back to two-way traffic? Or do you think it is locked in stone just because of the investment that's been put into it?
Well, the city of Chelan, of course, they spent the money to make it one-way. By all means, you could spend the money to change it back to two-way. It wouldn't really be that hard. A lot of the money that the city put into that was what we call Campbell Dock, the new area that's down, you know, on the uplake side of the bridge to make it look a little better than what it was before, you know. And then, of course, all the infrastructure that they put into the bridge that most people don't see, water lines and things like that. You know, there's a lot of cost in that. to change it back to two-way? Yes, it is highly possible.
All right. Mr. Olson, your thoughts, number one, on what has happened with the bridge. Do you agree or disagree with the one-way into town? We'll start there.
I attended all the public meetings regarding the bridge and listened to all the options from the consultants and engineers. And I think the solution that they came up with was the best of all the bad alternatives. There weren't any good ones. They were all bad, but this is least bad. It was only a short matter of time before somebody was going to be seriously hurt. My understanding from real estate law is that if your property has a defect that is dangerous and you know about it and you've been advised by professionals that it is dangerous and you don't do anything about it, I'm not an attorney, but my understanding is your liability skyrockets. And of course, with Murphy's Law, it would be some Seattle attorney's kid who gets smacked by a mirror, and the city would be on the hook for tens of millions of dollars. I'm pretty sure your insurance company would like to back away from that. So it was just a matter of time before something happened. I think they took the best alternative that they could. It would have been nice to involve the public more, so the public had a better understanding of it.
And we'll get around to the outreach component of things in the city. I'm curious to get your gentleman's thoughts on that as well. But let's wrap up this part about the bridge, and with it goes obviously traffic congestion. And it's not like we didn't have traffic before. We certainly did, especially in the summer months. Chelan's a very popular place. And when you are used to a certain traffic level as a resident, you get a little unnerved sometimes by having to wait three or four cars. You know, we're not in Seattle. We're not that thing. But now that it has changed the dynamics with one weighing into town, there was a tweak to the stoplight. Jonathan, do you see that there will still be a further need for other remediations or other things to be done that can maybe enhance the traffic flow?
At the city planning sessions, there's been a number of discussions about adding more roundabouts in town. There are discussions of as many as six across town. Sitting at the Sanders and Wooden light the other day, I witnessed two Apple trucks, the long trucks, with the pups behind them coming in opposite directions, and everything came to a stop. They could not navigate that corner, and there was some jockeying around to get them both through there. And that was, I felt an embarrassment for the city that we've evolved to this. And this is in October. This is in an off-season month.
Yeah, we have an interesting dynamic here because you have visitors and heavy in the summer, but the shoulder season expansion has grown a lot in our valley, both the spring and fall, and even in the winter now with some of the events that we host. But when you get into October, November, you're also in harvest time, so you compound everything with farmers trying to get their product to market.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's talk about that. Then, John, would you like to comment on maybe where you're at in terms of additional things that could be perhaps, I'll call it, tweaked to improve what we do have now from a traffic standpoint? Should there be more traffic lights? Should there be more roundabouts? Are there other ways to kind of educate the public to maybe take a different route?
There are definitely a few things we could do. Do I know the exact thing to make it work? No, I'm not a professional in that aspect, but you know, there's talk about rerouting traffic up Gibson, but then you've got a heavier traffic load on Gibson, you know, and those people suffer in that area because of the heavier traffic load. You know, trying to tweak the stoplights to get the flow of traffic to work better. You know, it worked a little bit to put roundabouts in areas. I guess traffic flows through a roundabout slowly, you know, like on the 4th of July. I think it was the day after the 4th of July, we had traffic backed up from the Saunders light clear to the roundabout up by the lookout. In my entire life, I've never seen traffic backed up that far. That was on a Friday when most people are actually coming to Chelan and not trying to get out of town, which was kind of a crazy thing. But, you know, I'm willing to work with people and put our heads together and try to figure this out that works and makes it, you know, traffic flow better, and particularly safety at the high school. We really need to look at that. That's a major thing for me. You know, when my son told me it took 12 minutes just to get out of the parking lot of the high school, you know, we've got an issue over there.
So. Well, and obviously the product of having two of your schools on state highways is a bit of an issue.
Yes.
You've got Morgan Owens Elementary as well.
Yes.
And so it's obviously a concern. I guess what I'm hearing from both of you gentlemen is, yes, there are some traffic issues, and yes, it's likely this is going to be something that the city and the city council and the mayor will be dealing with over the next several years to try and make the best, perhaps, of a not real good situation.
Yep.
John Olson, housing came up as one of the big issues, affordable housing to buy. There's a land trust in effect. Been a lot of talk about the need for rentals as well. Your thoughts on the housing situation in Chelan?
4 years ago, Steve Klein and I started the Friends of Lake Chelan, and it was based initially on why do we see so many for help wanted signs on the businesses around town. And as we talked to people, we found that the main issue was they couldn't afford to live here. Base rental on an apartment in Chelan is probably running around $1,000 a month. If you're making minimum wage at $12, even with two incomes, that's going to be a challenge. So when I lived on the coast, I was heavily involved with the Cascade Land Conservancy, which has now evolved into a group called Forterra. And that was mostly conservation space for public open space. But the Housing Trust operates under the same sort of structure. Ironically, after all these years, the first Chelan Valley Housing Trust project, I believe it's public knowledge now, appears to be the former Steve Klein house. So it's interesting that it's come full circle. I think Steve would be very pleased to see that property being more heavily used for more people for more affordable housing. Ironically, those homes there, I believe, are going to be open market for sale homes and not rentals. Again, rentals, that $1,000 a month, that's really hard at minimum wage, and that's predominantly what we have here. You've got to be a little bit higher volume. I've noticed that in the paper that a lot of housing units coming into Aniat, I think as many as 500, I think I've read. I'm not sure those will be market rate or subsidized in some way. We do have an organization in Wenatchee, the Chelan County Wenatchee Housing Coalition, I think it's called. They have 84 units here in Chelan already. They're very open to working with the Chelan. They have not been invited in by the Chelan Council, though, but they're ready to provide their professional assistance and organization and knowledge to increase the number of holdings here in Chelan, but they need to be invited in.
And you would do that in your position as a city councilman?
I would encourage the city to do that. I've met with those folks. They're ready, they're willing, and they're able.
All right, John Higgins, some progress being made, homes being built, talk of a major high number of apartment units coming in. Perhaps that's going to happen, becoming closer to reality. But it sounds like an ongoing situation, and not just in Chelan. If you talk to anybody, this whole issue of affordable housing extends throughout the state of Washington and not just in the Lake Chelan Valley.
Yeah, it's definitely statewide for sure. But in the valley, we have a demand or a need for affordable housing for purchase. Because there's a lot of people that don't make tons of money, they won't qualify for that home that is the $300,000 or $350,000 fixer in the valley. They just don't qualify for that. So we need to kind of take a step back and make sure that we have affordable housing. We also need to make sure that we have affordable rentals. I work in property management, and mm-hmm. I see a high demand for people to try to find affordable rentals. Mr. Olson talks about $1,000, and that's typically for a one bedroom. There's not a lot of people that are, there are a few people in Chelan that can use those one bedrooms. You've got a couple, but if you start to add children into this, and you've got five people in your family, that one bedroom doesn't work. And then of course, if you've got two incomes, they can't afford that two bedroom or three bedroom rental amount. $1,200, $1,500, even up to $2,000 for some three-bedroom units in Chelan. And that's extremely difficult for people to pay that amount of money. So we have to find a way to have the affordable housing for purchase and the affordable housing for rentals.
Go side by side. Gentlemen, I thank you for your time today. Of course, we're at a situation now with ballots are out, And if there are folks out there listening that have not cast their ballot yet, John Olson, we'll let you kind of take the microphone here and tell those listening why vote for John Olson.
I'm John Olson, candidate for Chelan City Council. Unprecedented growth is focused here in Chelan and on the Chelan Valley. This special place is not ready for that future. The summer population of this small town is soaring, and what we most value may be lost. I promise to seek public input as to what you value, to make your agenda my agenda, to protect the things that brought you here and keeps you here. My years in the military and in business took me to many places in the world. When it became time to retire, no place attracted me like this place of my birth. My family has been here for 100 years, and I'm looking forward to my and your descendants to be able to be here for another 100. With 4 years of consistent attendance at City Council, planning and park commissions, town halls, council workshops, and special stakeholder groups, I'm very ready to hit the ground running. I'm asking for your vote.
John Olson, thank you very much for your time and for your desire to serve the city. Now, John Higgins, your final thoughts.
Thank you for the questions. Those are great. Mr. Olson, thank you for coming on down and hanging out with us. My message is simple. I was born and raised in the Chelan Valley. I love this valley, and I want to do the best I can for the people of this valley. I'm a business owner in the city. I'm a homeowner in the city, and I'm a family man in the city, and I hope to be an elected official for the city. We have an obligation to protect and preserve our hometown. We also have an obligation to progress and grow in order to meet the demands and challenges of our city's future. I don't want to be your voice. I want to use your voices to address and resolve the issues at hand. I'm a simple man with a big heart for the city and the people that make it what it is today. The only promise I will make to you is that my door is always open and my mind will always be open to new ideas. And you can always find me downtown on the corner of Wooden and Emerson in my office. My name is John Higgins, and I would appreciate your vote in November.
John Higgins, John Olson, we thank you both very much for your time and your interest in serving the city of Chelan.